Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us from the United Kingdom is Jonathan Armstrong. Jonathan is a partner at Quarterly Compliance, and we're going to be talking about GDPR and what people should be thinking about during the COVID-19 epidemic. Jonathan, thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
My pleasure, Adam. Good to speak to you.
And you too. Now, as the coronavirus pandemic expands, what, if any, are the GDPR issues that organizations should be paying attention to?
Well, there's quite a few issues, I think, and it's sometimes overlooked. Sometimes I think, you know, compliance people by nature often try and be helpful. And particularly in situations like this, I think many of us are people who sort of run towards the fire rather than away from it. And that's a great thing. But in GDPR terms, I think there is a need for some caution. And one of the issues is around the sharing of data. So oftentimes, organizations have a lot of data on their employees, but you have to be careful if you're using that data for different purposes than it was originally intended. So to give you an example, if we have a gifts and hospitality register, and we've told employees to register gifts and hospitality on that for bribery and corruption prevention, then that isn't a free-for-all to use that data if we receive a request, let's say from a government agency, to give them details of who was in a particular location at a particular time. Now, it's not to say we can't give them that data. We just have to go through a process, which is called a data protection impact assessment, to comply with our GDPR obligations. So we have to look at the requirement to use that data. Then we have to look at the legal reason for handing it over. And that gets more complicated with health data, because health data is what's called special category data under GDPR. It used to be called sensitive personal data. And that requires special care, and it's subject to what's called a necessity test. And that's also relevant with some of these new apps or third-party providers that we're seeing springing up. And I'm not sure whether you've seen them, Adam, but on if you do a search on Google or even on Twitter, there are offers from startup businesses to say, we will help you manage your employees' association register. So what they're trying to sell is a sort of software app where you get employees to tell the app where they've been, and it'll, I guess, I haven't used it, predict their likelihood to get virus. And apps like that can be dangerous because, of course, we don't know who's behind them. They say they're a startup, but we have to look at data security risk as well. If we're asking our employees to put in sensitive health data, we need to do a due diligence check on those providers just to check who they say they are, that we can put a legal agreement in place that complies with our GDPR obligations and so on.
Well, that's very terrifying to think about. Now, does this apply only to European organizations or those located in the US and elsewhere as well?
Yeah, it will apply to those located around the world. So GDPR's got extraterritorial reach. Obviously, the main bite is going to be on organizations that are based either inside or outside the EU, where they have employees in the EU. But it could apply to people even if they don't have any EU employees. So, for example, if they're gathering any data on people they offer goods and services to, so a conference provider, for example, that isn't based in the EU could still come within GDPR if it offers conference places to people from the EU. And if they monitor the behavior of people in the EU, that can also come under GDPR as well. So let's say I'm a conference organizer in the US. I'm only organizing conferences in the US, but I'm inviting people from outside of the US, and I'm asking them to tell me where they've been in the last 14 days, which countries they've been in, etc., then that could possibly put me under GDPR obligations as well. And I think many organizations are asking people to disclose where they've been. I chatted with one organization today, for example, in the UK, where their receptionist has been instructed to ask people to list the countries that they've been to in the last 14 days and is held in reception until they've completed a list and they're either denied entry to the building or accepted on the basis of the form that they filled in. So all of these sort of procedures organizations are thinking about already, but you need to think through the GDPR risk as well, both to employees and to visitors and people you're marketing at, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, now we've already talked about consent, which, must be given, but can organizations rely on consent, or is there something else they need to be thinking about?
Yeah, it goes down to equality of bargaining power in many respects. With employees, it's always difficult to get consent. Firstly, because the GDPR almost says that the employee-employer relationship is similar to master and slave, and you can't validly give consent. That might be in to some of our eyes slightly over dramatic, but that's the position that GDPR has taken, and some regulators do take. So it's very hard to get consent from an employee. It's also hard to get valid consent from third parties, like, for example, visitors to the premises. If we've got something that they need and they feel they have to get consent, they have to give consent to get it. And the other worry about consent is that consent can always be withdrawn at any time without giving a reason. And so the difficulty you might have, let's say, in an employer-employee situation is if you're having an app and you rely on consent and an employee gets a bad result from the app, for example, telling him that he has to self-isolate. What if he decides not to and withdraws his consent from the app? Are you going to let him come back in the premises and risk a GDPR sanction, or are you going to, tell him to stay at home? You've got that difficult choice of which legislation you break. So I think consent is usually a non-runner for most organizations.
Now, what are regulators saying? I imagine that they must be changing as the situation evolves.
That's absolutely right. So most of the data protection regulators in Europe have issued some sort of statement. Some of those statements are directed at health professionals, but some are directed at organizations specifically. In Italy, for example, they published guidance on March 2nd, the Garante, the Italian Data Protection Authority. And they said that the primary responsibility for collecting health data is with the public health authorities. It's not with employers. And they've warned employers about almost interfering in their role. It took the unusual step, I think, of also publishing this guidance in English as well as in Italian. And I think that's a clear sign that they expect US-based employers particularly to be sensitive, because the perception among some regulators is that US corporations often install new apps or HR functionality from the US Home Office and apply that to all of their European operations without thinking of the local responsibilities. And the Italian guidance is clear. They say employers must refrain from collecting in advance and in a systematic and generalized manner, including through specific requests to the individual worker, information on the presence of any signs of influenza in the worker and his or her closest contact or anyhow regarding areas outside the work environment. So they're being very clear, really, that the public health authorities work at risk. It's not for employers to do so. Now, I know for many employers, it's not as clear cut as that because they've got obligations to protect the health both of that worker and of co-workers as well. But this is something that employers particularly are going to have to balance through doing a data protection impact assessment, which is the acknowledged way of assessing risk in situations like this.
A lot to think about. Now, what should organizations be doing to minimize their risks? I mean, it sounds like from what you've said already, they should be doing an impact assessment.
They should. That's definitely the case. They DPIA is often sound and involved process, but if you look at the process, you know, properly, take time to do it, sit down with a coffee or the hot beverage of your choice, then they're not as scary as they might seem. And they are a hot topic in Europe, in part because the Irish Data Protection Authority raided Facebook to ask for the DPIA on its dating service, and the dating service was suspended as a result of that Dawn raid. So the first step is always going to be to do a DPIA. The second step involved in the DPIA really will be to do due diligence on any possible provider. Who are they? If they're just a startup, can they enter into appropriate agreements with you? Can they give you the appropriate guarantees that you need under GDPR that they're going to keep your employees' data safe? The third thing you probably need to do is minimize the sharing of data. So you probably don't need everybody to see every co-worker's health details. And in some countries like Germany, they would rather that that data was restricted to healthcare professionals within the organization. So larger larger employers in Germany will frequently have health professionals either on staff or working on a retainer basis. And maybe this type of data, if it's collected, has to stay with them. I think fourthly, you have to look at your transparency obligations. Obviously, you can't do any of this covertly. So if you are going to do your DPIA and you've got a legitimate reason to process health data on employees or visitors to the premises, then you need to tell them that. You need to think how you're going to do that. And then I guess the final thing on my list would be look at your wider compliance obligations. So some countries like China have legislation in place which could conflict with GDPR. And you've got to look at things like, how would you handle a request from government? Do you have a process in place to make sure that somebody's dealing with those requests in a timely manner, but not giving in to all of them if that would expose you to liability further down the line? So those five steps should help keep you safe-ish, at least, as safe as using hand gel. But it might be that you'll need to do more thorough backfilling of some of your processes and procedures. Again, the DPIA will help you identify the gaps so that you can do a proper risk assessment and work out anything else you might need to think through.
Well, and there's definitely a lot to think through. And we know on the healthcare side already, there's been a lot of requests from governmental agencies for data from healthcare providers. Well, Jonathan, thanks for helping give people some good, thoughtful direction as they manage some of the compliance challenges of this COVID-19 pandemic. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. Hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.